Say this, the word of God,
is
the answer. Okay, let's get started. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, we put it up on the monitor. You can turn if you like to in your Bibles. Put it up on the monitor so we can kind of move kind of fast. Now, the building of the ark. How many heard of Noah's ark? Okay, that's going to be the backdrop of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay, let's look at this. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, watch this now, of things not seen as yet. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, watch what he did. He moved with fear and prepared an ark. So right away, we know that he prepared that ark by faith, didn't he? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. As we learn this faith life and begin to walk this faith life, not only will it impact our lives, but it'll impact our families. It'll impact our surroundings. My faith life has impacted my family. It's impact. I led my mother to the Lord. I led my dad to the Lord. I inspired my wife in the things of God, my kids in the things of God. As you walk this faith life, it's going to be a blessing to you, but your life is going to impact and influence the lives of many people. So notice that what he did with his faith has impacted the entire world. Let's look at another background scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 27. It says, for by faith he, now this is referring to Moses, but I wanted to take something out of this because we're talking about endurance. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, come on, say endured. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, now, let's talk about the endurance of faith, but we're going to introduce it first, and we're going to talk about this whole thing about Noah. We're going to talk about how he built this big old boat, okay? And then we're going to finish up by talking about the ingredients of endurance. What is endurance and the ingredients of endurance? So let's talk for a moment about the basis of Noah's faith. The scripture says, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, I'm going to see how smart you are. Now, some of you all are new, but some of you have been with me a while. Okay, where are my smart people at? Where are my smart people at? What was the basis of Noah's faith? What was the basis of Noah's faith? What prompted him to build that ark? What now? A warning from God. Okay, he didn't want, listen carefully now, he didn't just come off the cuff doing something. Right. See, a lot of times we just come off the cuff and do something and expect God to bless it. Come up with this and we just expect God to bless it, okay? We didn't spend time with God, we didn't get God's mind on it, but we just come up with this great idea and expect God to bless it, okay? Now, the basis of his faith was he received a warning from God, okay? So God shared with him about something that was going to happen in the future. Now listen at this. The basis of Noah's faith was revelation knowledge. Now these are the people who've been with me a while. So if you ain't been with me a while, don't worry about it. When we said the basis of his faith was revelation knowledge, what is revelation knowledge? Some you didn't know before, revelation knowledge. It's revealed, but how is it revealed? Okay, let me help you out. What's the difference between sense knowledge and revelation knowledge? Okay, so sense knowledge is the information that I get from my senses. So I know it's hot outside because I can feel the heat, right? I know it's sunny outside because I can see the sun. I can see the sun, right? But Noah, he didn't have no information coming through his sense knowledge. Got it? He had no information. It was revealed to him. Now listen at this. No one had ever seen rain. So here God says, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And so everybody said, well, okay, what's that? See, God watered the earth through a mist. It had never rained, but God said it's going to rain. So nobody had ever seen rain. Now watch this. There had never been a flood. No one knew what a flood was. But God says it's going to be a flood. Now listen at this. Noah had never seen or even heard of a giant ship that we call the ark. So God says, now I want you to build this boat. And you're going to save everybody because it's going to rain and everybody got to get in this boat. But nobody had ever seen a ship. Nobody knew. See, we have Carnival ship lines and Royal Caribbean and all of that. You know, there was no big ships like that. But God says, I want you to do it. Now, listen, Noah had no experience in shipbuilding. And no access to building supplies. So where is he going to get the supplies from? I mean, there's no hardware store. So how am I going to do this? Now, what can we learn from that? There are going to be times when God's going to reveal something to you about your assignment in life and what he wants you to do. And you're not going to have anything to gauge it by. All you're going to have is God's word.
That's right.
And if you're going to be successful, you have to be willing to move out on revealed knowledge and not just what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is doing, because maybe God wants you to be cutting edge.
That's right.
See, I believe that the church and the body of Christ should be the head and not the tail. So I believe that God want to give us ideas that he's not giving everybody else. But if we measure what we do by what everybody else is doing, then we're going to be mediocre. We're going to be average. We're going to be just like everybody else. Amen. I want you to get a little glimpse now of how tremendous this thing was. Here's a guy, never heard of rain, never heard of a flood, don't know what a ship is. But God is going to give him instructions on how to do it. And he has to operate out of that, those instructions. God showed Noah what he saw from his perspective, the spirit world. And Noah had to operate on those instructions. Now, on the natural, that can be a little scary, can it? Yeah. Because you can't ask anybody, well, what you think about it? Right? Because folks gonna say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Right? Because sometimes what God is calling you to do, for example, even in our city, there are no domes in our city. Our church is a dome campus. There are no domes in our city. So there was nobody to go to and say, well, what you think about this? Because nobody had done that. Not in our city. Does that make sense? So there are things God wants to do for you, and he wants you to be special. He don't want you to be just like everybody else. He's going to give you ideas. He's going to put dreams in your heart, okay? And he wants you to be able to operate out of it, and then he's going to supply all of the resources and everything that you need to get the job done. Amen. That's good. If I gave the benediction right there, that would be worth your coming tonight. Okay, now let's talk about the building of the ark, and then we're going to get into endurance. Let's talk about the building of the ark. There was the work side. There was the call side, and then there was the waiting side. The call side, there was the work side, the call side, and then there was the waiting side of the building of the ark. And he did it by faith. Let's talk about the work side. Faith involves work. Okay? You can't be lazy and operate by faith. You're not going to be just sitting at home just confessing. Confession is important, but you're going to have to do some work. See, if we're going to build a great church, we're going to have to do some work, man. It's going to involve some commitment. It's going to involve some work. The only reason we've experienced success in our church is because we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are committed to work. And you can get things done if you get people that are committed to work. So let's look at the work side of the building of the ark. Now watch this. Noah had to build an ark, and the size of the ark was a football field and a half. How many ever seen a football field? Okay, the size of that football field and add another half football. Now, that's the size of the ark that he had to build. Now, listen at this. The ark was four stories high. Four stories high. It had to have rooms, stalls, and cages for animals. It had to have storage places for food and had to have a living space for he and his family. That's some work. Okay, that's what? Work. Come on, say work.
Work.
Come on, say work.
Work.
Any faith people here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this going to involve some what?
Work.
It's going to involve some what?
Work.
We can't be lazy and operate by faith. It's going to involve some what?
Work.
It's going to involve some what?
Work.
It's going to involve some what?
Work.
We're going to build something great, but it's going to involve some?
Work.
You're going to do something great in your life, but it's going to involve some?
Work.
Say?
Work.
Say?
Work.
Say?
Work.
Say?
Work.
Say?
Work.
What you grinning at? What you grinning at? What you grinning at? It's going to involve some work. Okay. Now watch this. Noah had to gather the animals. There are 36,000 species of animals. 36,000 species. And he had to get two of each, male and female. 36,000. Double work. Come on, say work, work, work,
work.
Noah had to stock the ark with food for humans and animals. That's a lot of food. Come on, say work.
Work.
Noah had to preach a warning message to the people. Now, he got to do all this work. And then he got to go out there and preach to these. Listen, watch this. And he got to preach to these people about it's going to rain, y'all. Okay? And y'all got to come in this ark so you can be saved from the rain. And so the people like, well, what's the rain? Okay, so it's serious, okay? You get the picture of it? Let's look at the cost side. Anytime you do anything that's going to involve your faith. Now, whenever I'm teaching, you got to listen out of both your ears. Come on, do your ears like this. Come on, do your ears like this. Whenever you come to church, always listen out of both sides of your ears. What I mean by that, God has something special just for you. You understand what I'm saying? He puts a dream. He puts a goal. He puts an idea. God wants you to be successful in life. He wants you to win in life. Okay? That's going to have many different flavors, many different colors. Right? But everything we're doing is to equip you to be successful in your individual life. But you want to listen out of your other ear. Come on, say your other ear. Your other ear, you want to see, okay, how does this fit for us as a group? Because God calls a local church to do something in that region, in that area. What is God saying? God has given us the equipment to be able to do what he's calling us to do as a group. Watch this now. And we can do more together than we can do individual. See, I didn't know that when I was playing basketball. I didn't understand that. You know, I thought I was, you know, I was, you know what I mean? I'm trying to make it to the NBA, baby. I'm going to the NBA. And I was on a team. I was in military school. I was on a team in military school. Man, all of us trying to go to the next level. We're not playing together. You know what I mean? We played a team in Birmingham called Lawson. They had the leading, they led the nation in scoring. They led the year that I played, led the nation in scoring. We played them. My school, military school, played them. Watch this. And we scored 96 points. How many know that's a lot of points? Come on. Come on, sir. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points, ain't it? We got beat by 40. Them boys beat us by 40, man. They sent out five guys. Them guys were running, man. And then they run, and then they sent five. They had about 15 guys. They sent five more out there. Them boys was on the sideline laughing at us. We had about seven guys. I scored 26 points. That's a lot of points. We had at least three guys score 20-some points. They had 15. What am I saying? You can do more when you work together than you can when you're isolated. You can do more when you're unified and when you're not divided. You see what I'm saying? If you're loving each other and caring about each other, working with each other, pulling for each other, getting the strife out, the jealousy and all that junk out, it's amazing what God can do. God would do some absolutely amazing things. So the cost, there was a cost. Any dream that you have is going to cost you something. Okay? It's going to cost you at least four things. It's going to cost you money. Can't do nothing worth anything without money. You got to have some money. And you got to learn how to believe for money. Because there's no money shortage. Come on, say there's no money shortage. You may not have any in your purse, none in your bank account, none of it in your bill folder, but there's not a money shortage. Come on, say there's some money somewhere. So you have to learn how to believe for it, because it's going to take money to bring your dream to pass. Secondly, it's going to take time. Time. No dream is going to ever be accomplished in a second. It's going to cost you some time. Then number three, sometimes it's going to cost you some relationships. That's not the hard. How many want to do something great in life? Okay. In some cases, it's going to cost you some relationships. Here's what I mean by that. Everybody doesn't want to do something great. And there are going to be people who don't want you to do something great. Okay? And so in some cases, you're going to have to separate yourself from people who are not going where you're going. That's tough. Oh, it's just hard. I mean, it's nothing easy about that. Because there's some people in life, they're going to be mediocre. That's all they want in life, to just get by. Okay, but you have something in you. Greatness is on the inside of you. You want to do something great. So you got to be around people now who want to do something, who want to win. You know, years ago, when I was a little kid, man, my mom was a little strict, but thank God for her. She helped me. She was my biggest fan. My dad was my hero, but she was my biggest fan. One day she walked in, she said, "You're not going to be with that boy." I said, "Why not?" She said, "He steals." I said, "I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard." You know, but I can't say that. You know, you can't say that to you. You can't say that to your mama. I just thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. He steals. I'm thinking, I don't steal. I mean, this is what I'm saying to myself. You know, I can't say it to her, but I'm saying to myself, she don't even know the guy. She don't even know. We don't know what we're doing. And she controlling my life, telling me what to do. She said, "You're not going to be with him because he steals." See, she had a revelation that the people that you surround yourself with are going to push you or pull you. They're going to either help you or hurt you. You understand that? And she knew if I'm in that environment over a period of time, I may not even be doing anything wrong. But I'm in the wrong environment, connected to the wrong person. And even though I had no desire to steal anything, she knew that my relationships was important. If you're going to win in life, you're going to have to manage your relationships. Relationships. So sometimes it'll cost you that. And it will always, in the kingdom, cost you some persecution. There's going to be somebody who mock you, ridicule you. I've been called everything you can be called, and all I want to do is help people, okay? It's going to cause you that, and some of it is rooted in jealousy. There's going to be some people that are jealous of you, and you have to be all right with that, okay? You can't get bent out of shape. You can't get distracted by it. Don't get distracted. Keep yourself focused. Persecution is a part of the walk of the Christian. He says that we're going to be persecuted. He said, "If I was persecuted, you're going to be persecuted." So there's going to be people that's going to talk about you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to call your names. They're going to do all that kind of crazy stuff. Don't let what they say get in you. Don't let it get in you. Okay? Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, let's talk about the weight inside, and then I'm going to give you some ingredients to endurance, endurance, endurance. There's the weight inside to every kingdom thing. I wish it wasn't this side, okay? God is in heaven, no, I wish we didn't have to wait. How many wish we didn't have to wait? Yeah, I knew I would have some friends. But it's always a waiting sign. So it took decades for Noah to build the ark. We read it in a few minutes, but it took decades. Some scholars say that it took anywhere between 55 to 75 years. I mean, that's a long time. Okay, now watch this. Even after he built the ark, they had to wait 7 days on board the ark for it to rain. Can you imagine that? He would spend all this time, built the ark, finally got the animals in. Watch this. Watch this. Listen, I probably ain't going to be able to turn to my other scriptures because I done talked so much, but you're doing good. Okay, watch this. Watch this. Now think about it. And you've been preaching all these years. And on a folk say, yes, I'm with you. Eight people. And that's your family. Your wife, watch it, your three sons, and their wife, by eight people. You've been preaching all this time at eight folk. Everybody else said, that's the stupidest thing I've heard in my life, right? Watch this. And then finally they went on the boat, and they waiting on it to rain. And they got to wait, they're in there 7 days. Watch this. They're in there 7 days. This scripture, this Bible, y'all. They're in there 7 days before it rained. Now I think what they were thinking. Maybe this didn't. Right. You know, they felt kind of crazy. Don't you think about you sitting up there for 7 days, the animal stinking, it's stinking. It's stinking in this place for 7 days. And then it started raining. Oh, why God does that? I don't know. I wish he'd do it quick. He told me patience was a virtue. I'm thinking, Lord, don't tell me that. I got things I've been believing for a few years. I got things I've been believing for several years. I got a journal. I keep it in my journal. But I got things that I've been believing for years. Some has come to pass, some have not. For years. Now watch this. They were in the ark approximately 364 days. 364 days. That's a long time. But it's good to be on the inside when it's raining on the outside. Hey, listen, when the water rises, buddy, it's good to be on the inside. Okay, now, I was going to turn to some scriptures, but ain't got nothing to do with y'all, okay? This is the way we do sometimes. Sometimes I don't get to my scriptures, so I want to give you something, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's talk about endurance for a minute. What it is, and then I'm going to give you some keys to enduring. And I've been teaching faith for 30-some years, okay? And sometimes we don't hear this part of it, okay? But to win, you're going to have to endure. Okay, now let me give you a definition, and then I'm going to give you some keys to endurance. Endurance is holding on to God's word during a prolonged period. Now watch this. And in a difficult and unpleasant situation. It's what? Holding on to God's word. Watch this now. During a prolonged period and in a difficult and unpleasant situation. Now I'm going to give it to you again. Endurance is holding on to what? Now that may be the scriptures. It may be the thing God spoke to your heart. It may be what the Spirit of God says to you. And listen to me. The reason I say you got to have a quiet time, and the reason why you have to spend time with God, because in your quiet time, God going to say something to you.
That's right.
And that thing that he's going to say to you is what's going to help you to be able to endure. You understand that? And he, the Spirit of God, but you got to spend some time with him. You got to pull away and spend some time. So endurance is holding on to God's word during a prolonged period and in a difficult and unpleasant situation. Holding on to God's word, the instructions, the revelation, the vision, holding on. I've been holding on to this vision. I'm holding on. You have to what? Hold on. Come on, say hold on. Come on, say hold on. Over a prolonged period, watch this, and in a difficult and pleasant situation, that's how Noah won. That's how he won. Now, allow me to give you some, I'm going to give you seven keys, and we won't turn because I ain't got time to turn. Okay, I ain't got time to turn. You getting anything out of this? Okay. Anything that you're going to be successful at, it's going to require, number one, commitment. Commitment. What?
Commitment.
What?
Commitment.
What?
Commitment.
What?
Commitment.
It's going to require commitment. It's commitment for all of our students here. In 1519, a Spanish explorer went to the shores of Mexico to conquer the Aztecs and the treasures there. He took 500 soldiers, 100 sailors, 500, 100 sailors, and they went by 11 ships. They landed on shore. Now, this is what tradition says. Some people debate it. But then when they went up on the mountain to go into the battle, the soldiers looked back and the ships were on fire. He had set all the ships on fire, except one. Now, everybody couldn't go back on one ship. He left that one ship so that out of the bounty, 20% goes back to the king. So he's saying, y'all, either we're going to win or we're going to die because we ain't going back. That's commitment. Okay, it's commitment. If you're going to live by faith, you got to commit to it. Okay, no bridges back. When I learned about faith, see, can't you tell I'm educated? I'm joking, y'all. I'm joking. Okay, I'm joking. Y'all didn't get it, so I better explain that because the Bible said, man, he was saying he was educated and stuff like that. Okay, I was joking. But I got a degree, and I was smart, and I made all the grades, okay? Then I realized that there were going to still be some limits to how I could get. And so when I found out about faith, I realized there would be no limits to how far I could go in God. This room has boundaries. You can go only so far to the ceiling, only so far to the floor, and then you run into walls. That's the way life is. Life has ceilings. Life has boundaries. Life has walls. But the faith life, it removes the ceilings. You understand what I'm saying? In God, I can go as high as I can believe. You can go as high as you can believe. But this thing about faith is you have to be committed. Either you're going to walk in it or not. But you're not going to be in and out, in and out, in and out, and it's going to work for you. You got to be committed. And if you got another option, you ain't committed. Does that make sense to you? That would be true of anything you're going to try to do in life. You got to be committed to it. If it's college or military or whatever it is, or work or business, whatever it is, you got to be committed. You can't have plan B. You got to be committed. Number two, a God-given vision. A God-given vision. I would have quit the ministry years ago if I hadn't had a word from God. I would have quit because it's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. Wonderful, got different benefits, and you meet people, you help people, you love people, but it's a lot, it's some heartache too, and some pain, some difficulties, challenges, and stuff like that. Many days I just want to get on the bus and leave. Just get on the bus and go anywhere. I mean, just anywhere. Just get a ticket and go anywhere. Fine. But if you got some from God, God put a dream in your heart, you'll never be able to get away from it. A God-given assignment. Number three, you're going to need a strong support system. Strong support system. You're not going to be able to do anything by yourself. Strong support. Somebody around you. You need somebody around you. If you're married, you got to be close. You can't just be living together. If you're married, you got to be close because your spouse is going to be your support system. That person is going to be there when you're weak, when you're strong, when you're up, when you're down, all that stuff. Wherever the dream is, if you're single or whatever, you got to have a support system. You got to have, and it got to be a lot of folk, but you got to have somebody that you're connected to. And that's really what you're supposed to find in a local church. That's one of the things the local church is supposed to bring to you. People of like-minded faith, there should be somebody that you're connected to. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because God is want to have some resources there for you so that you're not by yourself. Does that make sense? Now, number four, long-suffering. You're going to have to be long-suffering if you're going to endure. That means to bear with difficult people. To what? I saw some grins with that. Bear with difficult people without yielding to anger, resentment, despair, or self-pity. You got to put up with some difficult people. You know why? Because some people are going to have to put up with you. Some of y'all got that and some of y'all didn't. That was a curveball. I mean, I throw a curveball at you. You didn't even get that. You are difficult sometimes. I am difficult sometimes. I'm difficult. And so my wife and I've been married 40 years in August. And I've been difficult sometimes. And she's been difficult sometimes. And so, you know, this thing of getting away from people, I don't get that. Long-suffering is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a part of your new nature. You have the capacity to endure difficult people without becoming bitter and angry and resentful. I don't get bitter at nobody. I don't get angry at nobody. I ain't mad at nobody. Nobody I'm upset at because I don't let nobody get in me. I don't let anybody get in me. Jesus told me what to do. He said, when you stand praying, forgive.
That's right.
I forgive like that. I was driving along the side of the road, highway, got out of my car on the highway because I had just left church. Somebody said something at church. I got out the car on the highway and I said, Lord, you said, when I stand praying to forgive. And what they said was not, that was not right. I told God, I said it wasn't right what they said to me. That was not right. But you said that I'm to forgive. I stood on the side of the highway. I said, I'm standing. And I release them. You don't let people get in you. You're going to have difficult situations. You're going to have difficult people. But don't let bitterness and resentment and all that stuff get on the inside of you, because nobody can stop you from winning in life but you. Amen. Nobody outside of you. Nobody can stop you. Long suffering. Number five, emotional independence. I got about 3 minutes. Can anybody tell me what emotional independence is? You got a question. Is it a hard question?
No.
Ask me an easy question. Okay, come on. Okay, go ahead.
So I have an idea of what emotional independence is. The question is, when you're married, how does that come into play, having emotional independence? Because when you're married, you're one.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Then I put you in the top of the class one time. I'm going to put you back in the back. I'm going to be asking them hard questions like that. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to answer questions.
Okay.
5 minutes, okay? Hold on to that. I'm coming back.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you. Okay. Now listen at this. Emotional independence is the state of being driven by your own God-given beliefs. The state of being driven by your own God-given belief and not by the beliefs of others. When you're not crushed by the indifference and criticism of others. Emotional independence is the state of being driven by your own God-given beliefs and not by the beliefs of others. When you're not crushed by the indifference of criticism of others. You can see that in Noah. Think about it. He had to be driven by his own God-given beliefs, because if he had been motivated by the beliefs of others, everybody else was saying, it's crazy. You can't do it. It won't work, right? So he had to not, watch this, be crushed by people's indifference and criticism. Emotional independence. So many people need affirmation from people. They need affirmation to feel good about themselves. They need affirmation, am I doing the right thing? Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? So they can't do it. And I said this months ago. I said, you have to be willing to walk by yourself, and God will give you somebody to walk with you. But you have to be independent enough to not be motivated by people saying, you can't do that, you can't have that, you can't go there, you can't be this, you can't be caught up in what other folk think and what other people, that's emotional independence, okay? Now, the sixth thing is mental toughness. Mental what?
Toughness.
Mental toughness has more to do with you. Emotional independence has to do with those around you, but mental toughness is the condition of mind which enables you to continue in spite of the presence of doubt, stress, and the expectations of others. Doubt, stress, and the expectations of others. Doubt, stress, and the expectations of others. I try to be transparent in my teaching, okay? Because I don't want people to think that this is not real. Watch this. Mental toughness means that sometimes I have some doubts. Okay, I have some doubts. You have doubts? You've been in the third? Yes, Sometimes I have some doubts. Sometimes I have stress. I have stress, okay? I got some stress. You know what I mean? And then I got the expectations of people. Okay, the mental toughness is being able to push through that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Being able to push through it and not allowing your doubts to cause you to quit. You'll quit, see? But if you're not, you gotta be mentally tough to press through, because there are gonna be times in life when it's gonna look like you're not gonna make it. And so you have to have the mental toughness to be able to press through that. And finally, you have to have courageous obedience. Mm-hmm. Number seven, courageous obedience. Courageous obedience. That means you're willing to make unpopular decisions. There have been times in ministry I knew the folk were gonna get mad at me. I'm like, God, they ain't gonna like this. They ain't gonna like this. I know they ain't gonna like this. Okay. Courageous obedience, when you know everybody ain't gonna like it, but you just know you're supposed to do it. That makes sense to you? You get anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. You got something out of it? Okay. I'm gonna answer her question. Okay. It's tougher when you marry. You married or single?
Single.
Okay, great. Great. And what I mean by that What I mean by that, you want to be married one day? In your decision-making process, don't just think things. Don't just think appearance. Okay? Think purpose. Think purpose. Okay? And get God involved in it. Okay, and your decisions, and don't make the decision based on how tall he is, you know, how strong he look, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and how much money he got, okay? And all, don't make it out of that, okay? Make it out of somebody who has purpose, and they have a heart for God. Because if you got somebody you connected and they got a heart for God, when you hit those rough places, you got somebody going to stay with you. You understand? I say it is tough because sometimes we don't always have that in our marriages. We don't always have two people on the same page. You know, when Peter and I was young in our marriage, we weren't on the same page. Well, I loved her. You know, one not love, I didn't know how to love her, and I was immature. See, a lot of times you're very immature and insecure and stuff like that. And so it's kind of tough, you know what I mean? Being driven by your own beliefs, you need somebody to be believing too. Yeah. And if hard, if you believing and the other person not believing, does that mean? So sometimes you have to pray through that one and ask God to give you the grace and love your spouse. Love it when it ain't working. Love them. Got it?